I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Better stop dreaming of the quiet life, because it's the one we'll never know, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Marcus Beller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson here.
All right.
Welcome to the Football Ramble.
Welcome Thanks. Yourself, Marcus. Well, are you feeling all right? You're looking well.
Thanks, man. Yeah. As are you.
Thanks.
Like your get-up.
Don't feel very well, so I'll be sniffing into the microphone a little bit later on.
You should do it more often. You look wonderful.
It's a good start, isn't it? People are listening to this on their commute, getting ready to go to work. Oh, I don't feel very well.
Yeah. Mm.
Get a real job.
They're worried now. They're going to pick up your germs.
I disagree. I think Pete's getting down and dirty with those who are also ill.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Late. Solidarity.
Fair enough.
For those of the asthmatics amongst us. Who have had the flu jab and it's just kind of run out and you just get a lot of flu.
In Ghana, there are some concerns, though, amid domestic football getting poorer attendances. Now, apparently attendances have dropped off quite a bit in the last 10 years with people preferring to watch Premier League games and on the telly and so on and so
it's
forth.
It's a big problem in the world over, really, that.
It is.
The danger of the best league in the world.
People are believing that.
Yeah, they will.
However, help is at hand in the form of Kwesi Nyantakyi, the head of the Ghanaian FA. He's got an idea.
Mm.
He believes, like so many people, that sexy girls are the answer.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
When are they ever not the answer, Marcus? Well, I would say.
Is this guy lining up a FIFA presidential bid?
Yeah. Well, he said on radio recently, I love that start.
Me.
I have said this over and over again. We must let sexy ladies enter our stadia.
So are they not letting them in at the moment?
This is quite bad.
Sexy
question.
Ladies, get out.
It's one of those things you should be agnostic about. Don't ban them. Yeah. Let them come in if they want. Don't encourage them.
Build the stadia and they will come.
Yeah.
Mm. Anything, they should be rewarded.
They should be equal.
Yeah. Most of these men, when they hear the beautiful girls are coming to the stadium today, they'll all jump and follow them to the stadium.
I mean, does that happen?
I mean, that's not a good thing, is it?
Not a great sentence, that, is it?
What I love about that sentence, though, is in case you didn't understand that, he goes on to say, and they are going there purposely to see the ladies.
Yeah.
All right!
Yeah.
I see these.
That's what you're getting
weird.
At.
Yeah. I mean, if you boil it down and take away the sexism, the idea is still trick people into going to games.
Yeah, because when they get there, there's going to be a football match on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, free football match as well.
I thought we were going to the club. Well, the football administrator of the Ghanaian FA, Taki Akin, is backing the man who said that, saying, I agree, wherever you see flowers, there are bees.
Jesus Christ.
Tiny to the bee, that's you for me.
A bit of Billy Piper there.
Yeah. Don't hear about her enough these days,
that's
you?
Very true. That's very true. But the man speaks from experience, though. He said, I remember when I was watching one match, we brought some beautiful girls who were in nice jeans to the stadium.
Do you mean brought?
Yeah, brought. I said brought.
You said bought.
Very different. Well, don't highlight that. The listeners wouldn't have, we could have just gone
it's
in
all
there.
It's not a schmog, it's one of depressing acts and deeds, isn't it, really?
The men in the stands went into a frenzy.
Wow.
Oh my God.
And what I love
screaming,
about
screaming, tearing at their own skin. Sexy ladies are here, gents. The sexy ladies are here.
What I love about this is not only has he managed to degrade women, he's actually, and I don't know anybody who's ever done this before, managed to degrade men. Yeah. How has he managed that?
As you've said many a time, it's all just a big sham. Yeah.
No one's coming out of this with any credit.
Yes.
Apart from possibly us.
Yep.
Presumably because the opening question is going to be based around this.
Well, it may have, I mean, that may or may not have influenced it, but if you could make the Premier League, or the Premier League, or any league, or football in general, sexier, how would you do it, Jim?
Well, what I would do is I would have, like, a catwalk for goal celebrations.
Mm.
And obviously the catwalk would have to be set up very quickly, but almost like, you know, when they put the roof together at Wimbledon, and I have to try and do it really, really quickly.
That's a lovely idea. Yeah. You could just do it behind one of the goals.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very quick catwalk, and the goal scorer, and, you know, his teammates, if they want, they have to just sort of do a sort of, like, kind of Zoolander-style pose and just be sexy to celebrate.
They sort of already do that.
Well, but exactly, this just sort of legitimises it a bit more,
formalises it.
Yeah, absolutely, because they're all doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So we might as well give them a literal platform for it. And at the end of the season, the team deemed to have been the most sexy by a point system I've not yet worked out. Maybe you could run it, Marcus, because that's an absolute sham as well. Would get into Europe ahead of the Fair Play Award, because frankly, that's boring.
You should
do that anyway.
Yes.
You know, you shouldn't be rewarded for it.
And the sexiest team of the season goes to
Europe.
That's
so wonderful. You go to Paris, potentially, Milan, potentially.
Might I say that I proved that the point system in this podcast is not a sham?
Well,
I think, Jim, I compete in it
and can award yourself points.
But
so
finished last, though.
I see where you're going with this, because I think that you think, and I wouldn't necessarily disagree with this, that Arsenal have got quite a sexy squad, and it's something they might actually win.
I think Olivier Giroud is going to,
Yeah, you've done all right there, haven't you?
Yeah.
Would that happen?
Giroud would be absolutely box office there, wouldn't he?
Oh, he would, yeah, standard. You can't argue with that.
That's true.
Yeah.
The only
problem is he's actually got a score before he can take part in it.
Actually, he didn't celebrate at the weekend. He was very moody. Actually, he sort of struck a pose then, just a sort of lonely, moody, existentialist Frenchman.
And
that would work, wouldn't it?
He's just really... I mean, obviously, it's fine to be French, but he's just really...
So French.
Yeah.
So French.
Luke, how would you make things sexier?
I'm going to tell you. Mm. Before I do that, I'm going to say...
You're going to button up your shirt.
No, I'm going to say, I think I know what Pete's going to say.
What?
You can't rehash an answer.
No, I don't want you to say what I think you're going to say.
What do you think I'm going to say?
Make the players get off with each other.
No. Hang on. We'll come to Pete in a minute.
Okay, fine.
Tuesday.
Oh, here we go. See?
Is that your idea?
No.
Right. Okay. Wait your turn.
Do you want to pad this out so you can think of another one?
I hate to think what Wednesday's going to bring. Luke Gordon.
I think that after every goal is scored, they should play a Barry White song.
Oh,
and
nice.
Instead of playing the game on a grass pitch, they should play it on a massive white rug.
With a big fire bit.
And the dugout should be fireplaces.
Fireplaces, nice. Yeah.
I like that. Cool.
Like a soft pond shoot.
There's nothing sexier than a white rug and a bit of Barry White.
To me, eventually, as well, the crowd would get into it and the Barry White songs would become chants.
It'd be great.
And you probably wouldn't even need the songs after a while. And
the walrus of love will live on.
And all the TV cameras should have, like, kind of Vaseline over the lens to make everything really soft focus.
Like that.
Beautiful.
Isn't the Premier League, although he's not in the Premier League currently, but isn't the Walrus of Love the Premier League's version of Big Sam Allardyce?
He could adopt the role.
He could.
He's got a lot of time on his hand. He's on Match of the Day all the time these days.
Yeah.
He's definitely got the time to do it.
Yeah.
The crooning.
The Walrus of Football really suits him as a nickname as well.
It really does. That's a lovely one, Luke.
Thank you. Mm.
You're in contention.
Appreciated.
Pete.
Well, he should always be in contention, you maniac.
No, but that's how bad he's been.
I am still here, you know.
Old dog in the fight speller.
Absolutely.
There,
only on a wild card, just
yeah,
a
yeah.
Go on, Peter. Speaking of wild cards.
The Slender Torn Stand.
Okay. No, I like this.
Right? You like a specialised stand?
Free ticket to those of us who are willing to wear those little belts that give your abs an electric shock.
Yep.
So every couple of seconds you just hear a load of men going, ugh!
No, Pete, when the goal goes in, they all get a shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the opposing team gets a slender torn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. That,
I'll tell you what.
So yeah, I mean, the worse you are, the fitter you get. Weirdly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So by the end of the season, rippling abs left, right, and centre
in the
off a sea of abs
in the stands, which is something that we're not used to.
The sexy Poznan you could do.
You could.
Yeah. Actually, that would be showing your back, wouldn't it?
But you can have a good back.
You could have a good back.
Yeah. The boys have got back.
Yeah.
Is what they chant.
Mm.
That's excellent, Peter. Well done. Well
Titty
done.
Tuesday.
And that would just. Hopefully not be included.
Right.
That's more of a Ghanaian FA.
You don't get that many games on the Tuesday anyway. That's Champions League or in the Football League. The Premier League don't play on Tuesday, so that's not too bad.
No. And Willy Wednesday's movie.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Get on with your answer,
Spelzy. I'd get rid of Scudamore and Richards at the top of the Premier League and appoint Sven.
Oh my God.
And the sexiness would just take care of itself.
The sexiness will flow. El Sexo will flow.
With one almighty fizzle down effect. I tell you what, I've got to say, chaps, these are possibly the best selection of answers that we've had for an opening question.
I think we'll let the listeners decide, personally.
Points all round.
Everyone's got
But not me.
No, fair enough.
Well done, Marcus.
Thank you.
Well done.
Very selfless.
Actually, all of our answers could work together.
They could.
But there's no reason
they
should.
They're not mutually exclusive.
For one mega answer.
Yeah.
The white rug was particularly enjoyable.
Appreciate it.
Right then, let's go to the Premier League. Manchester United, they beat Liverpool 3-1 better.
Oh, that first half was sexy football, wasn't it?
Probably
one of the... I would say it's the worst half of football this season so far.
It's so
but
dull,
what a great
wasn't
second
it?
Half, though, in comparison.
It made up for it.
Did.
So at best, we're even now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We saw I genuinely fell asleep in the first half.
You say it's a really good second half, only because the first half was so bloody dull.
No, but it was.
You don't get applause for wiping shit off your face.
But there was
the second half was recognisably football, which was an improvement.
Yeah.
There were some lovely goals in the second half.
Yeah,
Blint got us off to a good start.
A
in
textbook
scoring.
Training ground manoeuvre.
Yes,
very enjoyable.
Teddy Sheringham would have appreciated.
It's
that
nice one. When that stuff. It was a Teddy Sheringham-esque goal. It's nice when that stuff comes off, isn't it? It's nice.
Well, anyway,
satisfying to watch.
Sheringham would have been more in the box, but yeah, that's what the cutback from the corner and all.
Especially because that team. Something that characterises themselves them this season is the fact that they do have trouble in training and they have meetings and summits and things
apparently
like that.
They have too many meetings, apparently. Mm. Yeah, apparently Van Gaal absolutely loves a meeting.
Should we have a meeting about having too many meetings?
Yeah, I've worked.
No, that's
I've worked for a few people like that.
Like the bloody BBC, isn't it?
Yeah.
I did enjoy Van Gaal earlier on in the week when he admitted that they paid way over the odds for Martial, and he justified it by saying, "Well, it's a crazy world we live in." Does he often justify that? Yeah. Put your balls away. What's the crazy world we live in?
I don't know why you're asking me. It's not my team.
But to be fair to him, it's actually quite a good strategy to just admit that it's mental.
Yeah.
It's not an issue now, is it?
It disarms the accuser.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
De Gea, they've got him back on side, haven't they?
Yeah.
4-year contract.
Yeah, that was
but
a
there'll
surprise.
Be clauses. Crazy like world. Crazy world.
Indeed.
Do you think it's so Real Madrid have to pay like 70 million quid from in January?
Yeah. But they were probably going to pay. Well, I don't know what was going on. But he's there. He was in the side again. And they were all the better for it.
Yeah, he was good as well.
He was very good, Jim. Very good. Shame about poor old Gomez for Liverpool. He's had a good start to the season. Well, I mean, West Ham, I think, all the back.
He has had a good start to the season. I mean, but West Ham...
Gave away the pen.
West Ham, they were all poor, really, but so it's unfair to single him out for that. But
the thing about Gomez
is I wonder when you... I mean, that's the first game he's played in where it's been like a really big... I mean, Arsenal, I suppose, but I mean... Liverpool and Man United, it's a fiercely contested game, and I think the occasion got to him a little bit there.
Yeah,
and it was a poor decision. It was a really naive decision to give away the penalty there, wasn't it? And
you often see with young players that have a really good start, it's something like that knocks their confidence for ages, and they suddenly it's almost like you see them think that their good form up to then has been a fluke. You see it all the time, and hopefully you'll be able to get back on track sooner rather than later, because he looked a real talent up to now.
Yeah, certainly, Jim, certainly.
He just looks so strong for his age, doesn't he? That's one of the most impressive things about him, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. What about old Benteke's goal?
Lovely. Herrera didn't fancy that, did he?
No, he really didn't. I was thinking about that. I was thinking, could he have done something there?
He could have done anything but that. He span around so quickly, he was in danger of actually meeting the ball anyway.
It was like he was saying, I would rather they scored.
Yeah.
I would rather they scored than get anywhere near this. But I think it was one of those situations where clearly he wasn't supposed to be marking Benteke because he was playing like number 10 or whatever. Mm. And he's clearly not a huge presence defending set pieces. But the way the ball looped back in, he sort of found himself in that position. I think that... To be harsh, perhaps, you got to look at that from a defensive point of view and actually acknowledge that the ball was in the air for an awfully long time. And if a centre-back of top quality is under that, that's going out.
But he sort of goes, chances are, if he's going to do a bicycle kick, it's going to go over the bar. So he goes, I'd rather not stick my head into that.
He played the percentages, the cowardly percentages.
That's right. Martial came on and scored!
Oh, wow, yeah. What a finish that was.
What an intro, Jim.
It was superb, isn't it? I mean, so many people said it before we'd even seen him. Like, it's like, oh, he's like the new Thierry Henry. But I mean, have you ever seen such an Henry-style goal scored by someone other than Thierry Henry? It's incredible.
It was an Henry-style finish, a really composed finish.
There's a fortunate aspect to it, where he kind of like dribbled off his foot a little bit. But
we'll give him that, though.
It was all right, wasn't it?
Because it's a crazy world we live in.
Well, we look forward to seeing more of the young Frenchman. Mm. Brendan Rodgers, is he under a lot of pressure now? They've conceded six. They've conceded six in the last two matches, and they've had three consecutive clean sheets at the start of the season, but... You do look at Liverpool, and the way they start the season, you think, okay, grind out results, then grow into the season. A bad home loss against West Ham, and then this one. I mean, away to Manchester United, when Manchester United look possibly the best they have done all season. But what do you think there?
I think he is under pressure, and he's in a job where he's always going to be under a certain amount of pressure. Mm. But it's one of those weird things. Sometimes, for like with Manchester United, they've spent a lot of money, and they've obviously bought players, but they still seem so obviously short in certain areas. Yeah. And I think Liverpool seem a bit like that as well. I think, you take Henderson at that team, you've got no one. I mean, who's taking responsibility, ultimately? And the most important aspect, I think, of the way Liverpool are playing at the moment is it just shows up, regardless, overhead kick or not. The Benteke situation is very strange. I thought at the time them going after him was odd. They've never really played with that type of forward. Mm. It's almost like they knew he was available and they knew they could get him, so they just went out and got him. And they're not playing to his strengths at all at the moment.
No.
And so to play him from the middle, then you've got to play... You're playing Ings. I think Ings played off the left.
Yeah,
Ings
playing on the left is really, really...
And then you've got Firmino, who hasn't really showed anything at all yet. He started, didn't he, against United as well, on that right-hand side of that front three.
Yeah, he's looked a little clumsy even, which is...
It looks so imbalanced to me. And I think Rodgers has had a weird situation since he's been managing Liverpool, where he managed Swansea, did fairly well. People are like, he's clearly a good up-and-coming young manager. And I don't think anyone would dispute that at the time. Mm. Since he's gone to Liverpool, I find it impossible to tell whether he's actually a good manager or not. Because every time you think, he's actually got this sorted, got this together, he seems to massively drop off. Yeah. And then when you think he doesn't know what he's doing, he seems to pull some results at the fire and they go on a bit of a run. It's so difficult to pin down.
Somebody sort of gave him a little bit of an out by sort of saying, this is another transitional season. But to his credit, he just kind of like... poo-pooed that and didn't even look with it to get results.
Do you not think? Yeah, but do you not think there's no way he thought?
No, he'd never get away with it. To be quite frank, but you just look at. I just think the mentality of that team. But bearing in mind, like it's the cult of Brendan Rodgers, and it's all about psychology, and it's all about being up for the fight and stuff. When Manchester United scored their first goal, heads down. Everyone was just like, and maybe it's the fact that they've lost the Carragers and the Gerrards of that team, that no one's sort of going, come on, lads,
said that about Henderson, didn't you?
Well, you look for that team and you think, given that Hunt Henderson's out, you could possibly argue Lucas, possibly, but I don't know if he's that type of character. Apart from that, who have you got there who's really taking
the scuff? Well, you need some of those new players to emerge, don't you? And sort of,
just take responsibility,
establish themselves in the group socially, almost. And absolutely, as you say, take responsibility. But, I mean, we've heard so much about Brendan Rodgers being a sort of, a psychological manager almost, someone who really sort of looks to be a big thinker. But then, like... you're playing Danny Ings on the left wing. Why are you doing that? Like, that's basic.
That's a really silly thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Never expect that. Put him in net.
That's it. The element of surprise is crucial, Jim.
Even I don't know what I mean.
not least to Danny Ings himself.
Why has Benteke got a big foam hand on?
Why haven't you got a big foam hand on? Tell me about your dad.
Why is he eating custard creams? Oh, who knows?
Sturridge could be back from injury reasonably soon. But then
where do you play him? That brings up Benteke up top.
Well, on the right, because Ings is on the left.
Everyone on the right.
Yeah,
everyone on the wings.
But that brings its own problems. It does, and it's a serious point to be made.
It is.
Daniel Sturridge famously was kicking off, and part of the reason he left Chelsea was because he kept playing on the wide forward role, and he wanted to play for the middle.
Benteke's not going to work anywhere else.
He likes his three kind of like forward players.
Yeah,
just make him play 4-4-2, which he'll never do.
Yeah. I know that it doesn't really mean much coming from me because I've got sort of a reputation for always sort of getting on Liverpool's back, but I do fear for them at this point.
Mm.
I think they've had. I mean, that result against West Ham was disastrous, absolutely disastrous.
I wouldn't say I fear for them. I think they're just going to have a pretty typical Liverpool season. They'll sort of be, you know, sixth or seventh,
and they will
frustrate their fans a lot. They won't quite get where they want to get, and then it all starts again next season. And that kind of lack of progress is absolutely maddening for a fan. And I support Arsenal, so obviously I know all about that. And that's the real drudgery of it, isn't it? You can't see them making much progress.
Mm.
Drudgery is the word, Jim. We're going to talk about Liverpool's neighbours after this.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/ramble.
Watch out now, it's getting too hot to handle. The streets company but falls a ramble.
Stephen Naismith, super sub.
Perfect hat trick.
It was, Jim. Bloody
Stephen Naismith scored a perfect hat trick against Chelsea.
The sixth player in Premier League history to have scored a hat trick after coming on as a substitute.
And he scored like an insane percentage of his own goals against Chelsea.
I thought you were going to say his own goals. I think it's probably about 100%. But that's probably a fair statistic, because someone like Frank Lampard, you'd say maybe he only got about 75. He loved the deflection.
A lot of people have heard about what Garth Crooks said. Did you ever see that?
No.
Garth Crooks.
Good old Crooksy.
We haven't heard from him for a while. He piped up, on the BBC website, or on Final Score maybe, I can't remember. And he said, he basically went, Stephen Naismith, he scored one goal with his left foot, one goal with his right foot, and one header. And, I always call that a perfect hat trick. You call it that because that's what it is.
Came off the defender, I always call it the own goal.
Yeah. So. Or walk out into the middle of the street and point up into the sky. I call that the sun. Yeah, we all do, Garth.
Garth's great, that.
You're getting the hang of it.
Yeah.
You maniac.
You're not new to this car.
No, come on.
But you're right, Luke. Like, Naismith does like, I think you tweeted at the time, Luke, he loves kind of like whacking the ball out to the wing and then running, busting his ass to get in the air.
I've said this before about Stephen Naismith. We talked about it last season when he was getting a lot of stick from a lot of his old colleagues playing in Scottish football. I get the impression he's got a bit of a reputation as being a bit like the butt of the jokes and around a lot of players in Scotland. And Simon Ferry, who used to play in midfield for Portsmouth, Scottish guy, he now plays back up in Scotland. He tweeted something like, "Oh, I can't believe I never thought I'd live to see the day where Stephen Naismith was playing in the jam role for a Premier League team, right? Because he was playing number 10 for Everton on that particular day."
And
a load of people were tweeting it, retweeting it, and players were getting involved. And then what that sort of fails to realise is Stephen Naismith is the living proof that if you do the ultimate basic things properly, it can serve you well, even at the very highest level. There's nothing wrong as a forward player against a team who've got no confidence, who aren't playing particularly well, even if they're as good as Chelsea, as dropping short. Marcus, you know this. Getting the ball, popping it out wide.
Anybody, Luke.
Popping it out wide and breaking your net to get in the box. And I'll tell you who else did it. Jamie Vardy did it for Leicester against Villa as well. No coincidence, he's an ex-non-league player who just does the basic things properly. And Stephen Naismith proved that you can undo Chelsea by doing basic things very well.
Well, Nottingham Forest won two European Cups on the bounce doing exactly that. So, you know... It's got some credit.
A very different era, but I take the point.
Absolutely, but that's what Luke means, though, isn't it? It's harking back to that time when the basics were a little more apparent, I suppose you might even say. But Chelsea look vulnerable from the wings, don't they?
They're starting to... I saw Ivanovic chipping off last week, starting to say, "I know I've not been in great form, blah, 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 but the forwards aren't defending."
It's a crazy world we live in.
The forwards aren't defending at all, and I'm exposed because of that. Yeah. So that's not a great sign when you've got players breaking ranks saying that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It didn't...
But it's funny he's had a little dig there at Diego Costa, because that's how it's... Surely you can look into that. And there's been reported problems, isn't there, between Mourinho and Costa. The Mail reporting today that apparently after Chelsea wrapped up the league season... or the league last season, Mourinho gave the players a few days off to celebrate before playing Liverpool, was it, on the last day, or certainly very, very close to the end when they drew 1-1. And Costa flew home to Madrid, took an extra day off. He probably thought, I've had a good season, he won't mind. Well, he did mind. Dropped him for that game, and there's been suggestions that Costa's off-the-field activity hasn't been to the liking of Mourinho since, and there's been a bit of friction.
Let me be...
Sorry, Luke, that Costa was seen probably by Mourinho as the man to replace Drogba. Mourinho would talk so affectionately about Drogba. He'd say, "He's me on the pitch. He's like this warrior leading the line up front." And I think Costa was signed to replace him. And if things aren't going so well, and you know what Mourinho's like, if you're not getting in line, then you're off.
I think, and this might be sound, I don't mean this to come across as controversial just for controversial sake, but a large part of me thinks that Diego Costa is actually quite a bit overrated. If you look at the statistics of how he scored goals in his career, he's not a young man by any means.
He doesn't look like a young man.
No.
Well, no, I mean, he's 26, 27, isn't he?
I'm not entirely sure, but he's not coming through. He's not exactly like a prospect, is he? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's at the stage of his career now where he should be hitting his peak at the very least. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get... I don't think it's reasonable to suggest that he's going to get better.
Yeah.
So, but if you look at the fact that he only had really one prolific season at Atletico Madrid, and that was the season before he came to Chelsea.
Prolific season in terms of what they achieved.
I think he scored 36 goals in all competitions. Of course, that's a great return. No one's arguing that. The season before that, I think he got 10 league goals.
The season before that, though, he was playing second fiddle to Falcao. He wasn't actually playing that much.
But he's... Well, fine, okay, but in a way, does that not fit into what I'm saying? How are we assuming, if that's the case, Jim, I'll take that point, completely playing second field to Falcao, understandable, but how are we now then assuming, based on one season, and admittedly a good season last season, where he scored 20 league goals, I think.
He did have a good season.
Yeah, he did, but that is still at a premium to... good seasons in a career, and now we're asking him to lead the line of a team who've got serious ambition to win the Champions League. I don't think that's acceptable, and I also don't think it's acceptable in light of his injury problems as well. I think people think automatically, because of the fee and because he's played in some big games recently, that he's a fantastic striker, when I'm not sure if he is very top level, and that has also played out by his lack of goals at international level.
It's certainly an argument you could make, but Didier Drogba, again, is a good comparison. He didn't really start to produce his best football till he was about 25, and he had a similar trajectory, and he remained consistent after that.
But the point is different, though, what you're making. I know what you're suggesting, but Drogba
took a little bit more of a run-up at having a great career, if you know what I mean by that, and then he was off, whereas Costa's had 2 good years and then seems to drop off. You know, he's a season
like 5 games into a season?
He's a season better off, if you like, in terms of great years than Rocky Santa Cruz, you know, if you look at it like that.
I don't remember Drogba having, certainly at Chelsea, apart from one season a fair while ago, I don't remember him having big injury problems. He played a lot of games for Chelsea. I don't personally categorise Diego Costa in the same bracket as Didier Drogba, but certainly not at this stage.
But he had Diego Costa is clearly a very, very good striker.
He also gets into a situation, Mark, sorry to cut in, but he doesn't help himself either.
Yeah.
He gets so caught up in this winning this battle type thing in his own mind that he doesn't actually focus on the basic stuff.
And I think that's what I was going to say, that Costa is very, very talented forward. He's had 2 good years. He still could have a good year. I think to suggest that maybe he's only got 1 or 2 good seasons in him.
Oh, he'll go and score another 30 goals now, probably.
Yeah, he'll be great. But
he seems to want to play up to this kind of like really angry kind of character.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely.
Just and ignores the fact that there's been time this season. I know it's only very early in the season where he's been tantruming and kicking and getting angry when the game's happening around him. And if he just stuck out a leg, he'd get hold of the ball. And it's like,
football. But do you think the point is that Mourinho's one? Simeone's wound him up, and then Mourinho's had a little another wind, and he's got this
out of control.
This fantastic forward come into the club and try and bulldoze defences apart, which he has done to some extent. But then when the relationship's perhaps, if reports are to believe, broken down with him and Mourinho, he needs that aggression to be channeled, and perhaps it's a little bit displaced at the moment.
Well, I guess Chelsea, displaced is a good word for that whole team, because they all look just confused. There's so many of them are playing so badly. And John Terry, I mean, he got away with this during the game, but did you see his back pass?
The back pass was
the fact that he got away with that.
That's the worst thing that's happened all season.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
I'm pretty good at kind of over-egging the emotional pudding, so to speak, but goodness me, that was the worst bit of
over-egg
unfair
away.
Play.
I mean, like, that is, in a basic level, that is worse than, like, I don't know, like,
go on,
doing a foul throw. Yeah. Like, this is so basic.
He jumped in the air to pretend that he was jumping over the ball, and then realised that the attacker was coming behind him, so he just stuck out a foot and passed it back to the keeper, and they got away with it.
Yeah.
I was furious about
that. Clearly.
Bloody furious.
No need to talk in the past tense, you know. But absolutely. But Everton, though, were fantastic.
Oh, John Stones in particular. What a game he had.
He wasn't phased, was he?
No, absolutely. I mean, he looks a big game player based on that performance. What an appropriate name for the young man as well, given that. I mean, he played a lot like a young Rio Ferdinand, I think it's fair to say. Very tidy, very calm and assured.
Like Cruyff turns in the 6 yard box.
Cruyff turning in the box.
Lovely old job.
Chelsea.
What's going on?
But I mean, the best thing about it.
I look forward to that costing us a goal in the knockout stage of a tournament.
But it's one of those things where it's like, you know for a fact, the best thing about him is he's really quick. So it's like, whatever he does, whatever kind of skill, if it doesn't come off, you're like, he's probably got the pace to recover. So you might be all right.
You can see why the club didn't want to sell him, even for a high fee. Because the partnership he's got with Jagielka could last for a little while yet, and it looks very well balanced, doesn't it? You know,
an enjoyable match,
a very enjoyable match indeed. Leicester versus Aston Villa was very enjoyable as well. I felt a little bit sorry for poor old Tim Sherwood.
Can I please do my favourite quote of the weekend?
Go on.
I ain't never felt this bad ever.
Yeah. Oh, no, you actually made him sound too happy there. I was dying when I saw that.
Close right again, then. Close right again.
Yeah, go on.
I ain't never felt this bad ever.
No, it was I never felt this bad ever. But there was no lilt in it. There was
but
no.
You got to get the wrong. You got to get the actual the right words, because he uses a double negative. I ain't never felt this bad ever.
Oh my very god! Enjoyable. I mean, what really made me laugh about that? And I'm sorry, Villa fans. I know it's annoying when we keep.
But
I'll
be fishing with Villa.
No, absolutely not. We've got no problem with Villa, but Tim Sherwood keeps being funny. But he is building a reputation, or seems to be planning to build a reputation, as someone who's a real motivator.
Yeah.
But if you're a Villa player and you see that, you're not exactly going to look to him as like your leader and the inspiration that's going to get you playing again when he's just sulking.
But do you not think that's one of the problems with that managerial style, Jim? But he gets so caught up in it and almost tries to live every kick.
And it's genuine.
He
manages like a fan, which is obviously not necessarily
not ideal.
A great thing. But
I think the problem with it is I think that Tim Sherwood also needs to take a bit of the responsibility. I mean, he thought the game was won, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he pulled off, Carlos Hill. And that changed it up a bit. I mean, that changed up the balance of their team. And they seemed to sort of course, Leicester were going to come at them, and that Leicester team will always do that. But when the first goal went in, it had that feeling that you can't really describe, but you only know from watching football for a long time that this is happening. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
It's just, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, do you not think from Sherwood's point of view, often they say managers will have a glass of wine or something like that after the game. If you are feeling as low as Sherwood would, surely the one manager you'd like to have a glass of wine with would be Ranieri.
But I can imagine that Sherwood is just in the bath with a bottle of whiskey.
I think Ranieri would cheer you right
Ranieri
up.
Ranieri would be magnanimous as well. He's a good
Ranieri. Oh, come on, it's not that bad. I've been down in the dumps before.
Mahrez was good, wasn't he?
He's playing like a world beater, isn't he? Yeah,
he's so tiny, but he's so good.
So tidy.
And consistent as well. Yes. That's, you know, it's quite often we see players that come into the Premier League.
If you think about the team, the players involved in those two teams in that game, and it's no coincidence. Of course, Mahrez has had a good start to the season anyway, but it's no coincidence that you've got, in the shape of Aston Villa, I mean, they've got a Mavi playing at the back, and they've got, I don't know if I rate Bakuna that highly, but a Mavi especially. He's an inexperienced. He's obviously a talent. He's a real prospect. But with that comes the fact that he's going to make mistakes. And when you've got a player like Mahrez who'll just commit defenders all day, that is a nightmare for a young defender to have to deal with.
That wasn't there that amazing vine where he just kind of like stopped the ball and three defenders just slid on the floor.
It reminded me a bit of JJ Okocha in his play.
He's one of those players. He's one of those players that will look back on 10 years ago and go, "I remember Riyad Mahrez," and just be really, nostalgic about him.
But like Ranieri's basically, apparently, according to the player himself, Ranieri just sort of says, "Just go on the field and do what you do. There's no point in me trying to make you mould you into a different player. Just go and wow the crowd."
I've got a bit of a bee in my bonnet about this Vine generation of football skills and stuff like that, because that thing that did the rounds of Mahrez, he actually gave the ball away after that.
Yeah, he did.
And it's almost a bit like, when do you want to cut the Vine off? Do you know what I mean? Because you can make most players look really good if you do that. I mean, there was a lot better instances of where Mahrez actually helped the team and helped them win than there was that particular.
Well, the winning goal.
But it seems weird. But what, just to tap into what I was going to say, you know, when a team goes 2-0 up, in this exactly the way it happened on Sunday, then Leicester got a goal back, and you all know what I mean. I can't explain it, but you all know what I mean. It's happening. And the way it manifests itself is the smallest player on the pitch scoring a header against Brad Guzan, and you think that would never happen. The stars have aligned, and the universe has decided.
The wind has changed.
Yeah, and that's going to happen.
Would you say that the that Leicester City member of staff who celebrated it suggested that he was rather pleased
that
it
was responsible
happened.
For it? Yeah, he was the conduit for it.
That was the equaliser, wasn't it?
Was that the equaliser?
Yeah, it wasn't even the winner.
Oh my god!
He's the fan liaison officer there. Apparently, he's a bit of a local legend. I think his name's actually Jim. Jim. There you go.
Imagine when the winner went in, he turned into an actual firework. Because I don't know how you stop the celebration for the equaliser.
Gökhan
Inler plays for Leicester now. We haven't really mentioned that.
That's very true.
I mean, again, like, it's the pulling power of the Premier League now. What a signing that is to replace Cambiasso. No, but I mean, Inler's that much younger. Cambiasso's basically just travelling now, isn't he? professionally.
When I saw that Super Sunday lineup, I thought, God, this is going to be dreadful. And to be fair to Sunderland and Spurs, they did pull through with that. but Leicester and Villa pulled it around.
Serene Sunday.
Dessert was sweeter.
BT Sport could really, you know, ingratiate themselves with a lot of people by calling their Sunday football coverage just Sunday.
Just no need for the superlatives.
Well, BT Sport don't have a Sunday football, do they?
Yeah, but if they, when they buy it.
Oh, for next season. Just call it Sunday. That'd be so funny.
Call it Sunday.
I call it Sunday, Gaff Crooks.
You know that day after Saturday? Just before the week starts again.
I like to call it Sunday.
Oh, dearie. What about down at Crystal Palace? Pardon, Pellegrini, we're at it again.
We nearly saw a repeat of that wonderful sentence that we could not say.
But it tapped into our theory. He stopped himself and he made himself shake hands with him.
Yeah. He's massively gunning for that England job.
I thought about this actually, about Pards for England, and I thought, if he's not offered it because of the aforementioned incidents on the podcast and other
he won't not get it for that.
But I thought, who else would be in the front? I thought, who else is waiting in the wings right now?
Is this going to be Sven again?
No. Who's currently out of a job, who's just enjoying a bit of the limelight, making sure we all remember he's there and so on.
Big Sam.
Yeah, Allardyce.
The walrus of football.
Yeah.
If I was to put my Mostradamus hat on again, I would say Alan Pardew may be issuing an assassination towards the end of the season. A man's going to get in the way of him getting his dreaming a job, and that man may be Gary Monk.
Ooh.
I think Monk might be a bit Monk young.
He'll never go.
Surely it'd be a waste of him now.
But let's talk about Manchester City winning at Palace. Yaya Toure, which of course his challenge on, was it MacArthur? Mm. That was the incident that made Pards have a go.
It was a dreadful challenge.
He should have been off, shouldn't he?
Yeah, he should have.
But then should Scott Dann have been sent off?
That was a purple card, wasn't it? There's one of those ones.
Certainly not a green card.
No, not a purple card, an orange card, sort of in between.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was one of those situations where a yellow seemed too lenient, but a red might have seemed.
It was
a bit
malicious.
Harsh. Do you think it was?
Yes.
It's crazy well, wasn't
it? Look out, yeah. Because I think.
It was very high, but the studs weren't up.
No, but so it would have been pretty impossible to catch Aguero with his studs there.
Well, maybe.
But the young Iheanacho, is it, came off the bench.
Iheanacho, yeah. That was a classic example of defenders being sort of tired and on their heels, and then a young sort of up for it striker who's instinctively good just nips ahead of them. It's happened so many times before. I felt sorry for Crystal Palace actually because I gave a good account.
They could have won it on another day. I mean, was it Gale who went very close?
Yeah.
But that Pardew said they beat City last season at Selhurst Park, and he said actually he felt their performance on the weekend was better, and they did play very well. And you know, Champions League, we reckon. For Crystal Palace this season.
100% record for City as well.
Indeed, yeah. A couple of good wins for the newly promoted side, Norwich and Watford.
Yeah.
Beaten Bournemouth.
Swansea
Norwich,
were really poor, actually.
Yeah, that was
the goal they conceded was really poor.
Yeah, I think the thing is, like, with a team like Swansea, I mean, they're very ambitious, aren't they? They are sort of, their fans are thinking, we can maybe go for the Champions League here, like, have a sort of cheeky bid.
I know what you mean.
But, you know, so they will lose games like that.
Because they've got to get the basics right. I think there's an element, they lose sight of the basic stuff. That happened against Sunderland, where they should have, I mean, they only got a point there, and they've been undone against Watford, and they were disappointed. And that goal they conceded was really unforgivable, to be honest.
But good win for Norwich, though. Houlihan playing his best football, probably.
He's absolutely superb. His shin pad, what was that about?
I think he's 33.
He is 33.
Yeah, he's so much older than I thought he was.
Hot lips.
But Matt Jarvis, nice to see him there.
Yes, debut goal, was it?
Brilliant goal, it was, yeah.
Superb finish.
And Jerome getting his first goal back in there.
Bournemouth do look a bit out of their depth, don't they? It's a shame.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Of course.
What, they got spanked 3-1 by Norwich?
They beat West Ham.
I know they did, but, you know,
they were unlucky not to get a point. I mean, something to say they're out of their depth.
I think they could be in trouble.
I don't mind the bold statement. I'm letting him have that. I don't mind, if that's what he thinks.
All right. Now then. Here's a bold statement for you. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the Scottish Premiership. Hearts lost. Hearts, they did lose again against Inverness Kelly. It's not good, but Aberdeen did them a favour.
The Dandies.
The Dandies are having six wins out of six. And I tell you what, with that win against Celtic, when they were down to 10 men, they've blown it wide a bit. It's a three-horse race.
The Aberdeen manager after the game said it's actually good for Celtic that we beat them because, you know, it's going to be good for them to have a title race on.
Wow!
Yeah.
Gigantic licks!
Yeah.
Damn right. Well, Aberdeen are definitely in the running with Hearts and Celtic.
Can I just pull something into your focus, Marcus, that you may not be aware of?
Go on.
The Dandies head to Tynecastle on Sunday.
They do.
Mm. Come on! Come on! What a clash for all the ages. It's like Godzilla versus Mothra in Scotland.
I think Hearts have got... They've got that's right. Aberdeen at home and then Celtic away.
Yeah, big fortnight for
this. This is crunch time now in the Scottish Premiership. This could shape the next, you know, decade.
I think this could shape Western civilization. This goes beyond. We're getting to the stage now where the Scottish football is almost transcending the sport.
You could say
the clashes are so big.
One man transcending the sport is Cristiano Ronaldo in Spain.
Mm. Yeah,
he got a glut. I think a glut is. I look at Ronaldo and think he got a shoal of goals.
A shoal, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just so many of them.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous and it's bloody wonderful. We are living in great times, people. 230 goals for Real Madrid he scored in La Liga, overtaken Raul's tally of 228. He's done it in 347 fewer games.
My goodness.
He's posting
he's posting well over a goal a game, isn't he?
1.13.
Absolutely incredible.
I mean, 347 fewer games.
People before this season started saying...
Raul is not an also-ran player, are they?
If you scored 230 goals in 347 games, that'd be decent.
Yeah. It's amazing. But you I'm sure that Messi's only got 260 La Liga goals. I'm sure you...
287.
Okay, yeah, my I looked it up earlier and it said 260, so I'm a bit confused about that.
I thought, okay, I think the BBC were going with 287.
But when I was looking it up...
He's obviously been playing in La Liga a few more years.
Here's something enjoyable, though. When I was looking it up, there was a list of the top scorers in La Liga by season.
Yes.
Right. And the list from 2001 onwards is absolutely fantastic.
Go on.
It's just such a great list of players that we all love. Go on. Very affectionate for. 2001, Raul, we've mentioned.
Yep.
2002, Diego Tristan.
Oh. Ex-West Ham.
Yeah. 2003, Roy Mackay.
Oh, yeah. Roy Mackay. Ex-Deportivo.
2004, the big one, Ronaldo.
Yes.
2005, Eto'o and Forlan.
Oh, good.
It.
Wow.
2006, Eto'o took it again. 2007, Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, yeah.
2008, the lesser-spotted Danny Guisa. Forced his way into the Euro 2008 squad for Spain.
Then he went to Turkey.
Yeah, and then 2009, back to Diego Forlan again. Brilliant. What a lineup! That it's is a great who's who of strikers, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Very enjoyable.
Lovely old job. Ronaldo. My goodness. And Barcelona, they beat Atletico 2-1 away. Messi came off the bench to win
the reason
the match.
I stopped at 2009, by the way, is because ever since then it's just been Messi, Ronaldo,
yeah,
Messi,
we,
Ronaldo.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. But good win for Barcelona. But Torres, he scored for Atletico.
He opened the scoring, didn't he?
He did. Mm. Lovely run from Torres and good finish. It's just great to see him.
Yeah, scoring, enjoying his football, having a good time.
Shame that they didn't get something out of the game, but Barcelona will do that to you.
The thing with Torres at Atletico Madrid, it feels to me like, because when he was at Chelsea, it felt to me like, right, he's done his homework, now he gets to enjoy himself. Now he gets to go out and play with his friends.
Yeah, have a good time again. And any goals, just, it's kind of... It's not that much expected, certainly from an English fan's point of view. So when it goes,
great start.
Lovely.
It does remind you of quite how brilliant he was at Liverpool in his first few seasons. It was phenomenal.
Absolutely
phenomenal.
Yeah,
because he didn't really have an amazing scoring record before then. It's just when he hit Liverpool, his game at that particular point seemed to suit the Premier League so well. Mm. And he just kept scoring. Yeah. Just kept scoring.
He did. Scoring all them goals. Let's go to Serie A, where it was a Milan derby. Mm. It's such a shame, isn't it, that... Oh, was there a Milan derby?
Yeah, I know.
It used to be one of the biggest games of world football, but Inter won it 1-0. Freddie Warren with a lovely taken goal,
and,
actually.
And Super Mario came off the bench, didn't he?
Looked very sharp.
Couldn't get a goal, though.
Yeah, he was unlucky. He hit the post, and he looked quite inspirational when he came on. And if he continues in that vein, then actually we could see Balotelli among the goals and doing what he does best.
Yeah, but I think there's an element that he will hit the ground running at a new club, and he does lose interest very... Mm. I mean,
I'm hopeful.
Notwithstanding that there's a tournament in the summer, so he might try and force his way into that. But I wonder whether he's going to lose interest.
Well, that's the question, isn't it? The question is not over his ability. It's the application
of ability.
But
course,
it was good to see him getting right in there, and he really gave a damn. Mm. And hopefully, as I say, that will continue.
To play devil's advocate, though, Marcus, I mean, if you can't get up for a Milan derby, you know, I mean, what are you doing it for?
Well, the media can't.
Actually,
we can't, apart from us.
We're trying over here.
Juve, they got their first point of the season at home to Chievo.
Incredible, isn't it?
Strange sentence.
Really they play Man City in the Champions League this week.
Yeah, which is that's a really interesting game, that, potentially, because obviously City have underwhelmed so much in Europe, and I think that's probably something that haunts them a little bit. And obviously Juve had such a terrible start to the season. But like, if Juventus win, what will that do to Man City's psyche? You know, maybe that will knock some confidence. Yeah, we'll see that.
But just like a sort of Buffon enjoyed his 150th cap in the week, and then he goes back to Juve and he's like, oh, fuck's sake! Just on his 60th clean sheet from the national team. Oh.
Lovely stats.
About that.
They were saved by Dybala, who scored a dubious penalty. Mm. He's nicknamed La Joya, I think that would be, or spelled La Joya, obviously, but with the old Spanish, the Jewel. He's nicknamed the Jewel.
Nice.
It's quite a nice little name in there. Could be a player in... well, he already is.
literally is.
Well, he's one of those ones, and we've... Time and time again from Argentina, oh, he's in that mould of Messi, Aguero, Pastore, and you go, and hopefully he'll go on to fulfil all that massive potential. Let's go to Mexico before we do the highlights of the week. Now, I can't remember if we mentioned this before. I feel like we spoke about this.
We definitely have spoken about it before.
Right. Former Mexico player Blanco going for a position of mayor in the town of Cuernavaca.
Yeah.
He retired at the age of 42 towards the end of last season. Too young, I thought.
Yeah, I mean...
Too soon, yeah. But, you know, man's got a rest.
Yeah.
So, obviously, he won the mayoral election a couple of months after retiring this summer. But it emerged recently that instead of submitting a CV for the role... He just copy and pasted his Wikipedia page. Didn't stop him winning.
Didn't stop him winning.
How bad?
Citation needed.
Yeah.
How did the interview go?
Have you got a CV? I've never had to have one. Will this do?
Well, that's your scoring record on it.
Genuinely what must have happened, isn't it? Or it's a really arrogant thing where it's effectively him just going, do you know who the hell I am?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you played in all those World Cups, I see, yeah.
Maybe there were no other candidates.
True.
That's what I can think of.
You could have printed the Spanish version.
A Wikipedia article is still a bit like a CV. It serves the same purpose.
It's just the public have done it for you.
All you got to do is add a driving licence full clean on it, yeah. And you're away.
So you're saying Blanco's a pioneer?
Yeah, he is.
He's actioning what Wikipedia is maybe there for.
It's cost savings. No one has to do a CV anymore. It's just a Wikipedia page. Serves the same purpose.
Lovely old job.
Put that on LinkedIn.
Shall do. Now it's time for highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hi, everyone. It's me over here.
Hello, Luke Moore.
Are you going to say hello back?
I have.
Yeah,
hello. Sorry, I just had a drink of water.
Hiya.
All right, Pete.
Get on with it.
I got an email this week.
Oh, bugger me.
Congratulations, mate.
That's all right.
Well
thanks.
Done, mate.
This is a very good one. This is from Mark, who's an Everton fan.
We get emails all the time.
He says, hi, Luke. A bit too long to tweet this one, but my highlight came during our 3-1 drubbing of Jose Mourinho's Chelsea at Goodison Park. Clearly, Everton fan. He says, at one point in the first half, there was a chain of, I think, 3 headers in a row. Kone to Lukaku, Lukaku to Naismith, and then back again, or something similar, in the Chelsea area. And one chap sat behind me said, look at us, we're like the Harlem Globetrotters, they'll bring a sea lion out next.
That's lovely.
That's great.
And then he goes on to talk about Naismith's perfect hat-trick, as termed by Garth Crooks. Mm. We've done that.
That's a very retro...
It's a great thing
reference.
To have at Football Grounds.
I saw the Harlem Globetrotters once. Murrayfield Ice Rink. For those of you who know.
Presumably they covered the ice over.
Yeah, of course.
Well, they were a very good team, mate.
He's broken ahead.
That would be truly spectacular.
Any highlights on the Globetrotters?
They hammered the Washington Generals. Those generals, man. Never going to get anything.
The whipping boys.
What have I got here? I've got a dig from Louis van Gaal. Interesting, that Louis van Gaal dig.
Yeah, definitely.
This is from Colin Bowman. He says, my highlight of the week is Louis van Gaal saying, for me, Liverpool are a fantastic club because I have won every game against them. Does not give a shit.
Very giving.
That is brilliant.
Does not give a shit. What's this? This is one from Daniel Lienz. He says, I explained to my girlfriend that Gary Cahill was wearing a mask because modern players need a gimmick to increase sponsorship deals and engage young fans, and Gary Cahill loves Batman.
Gary.
He doesn't say whether she believed him or not. I presume she didn't.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed it. Liam O'Conn says, at Liam the Eagle on Twitter, my highlight is Alan Pardew. If the man was in Serie B, he'd be showered in green cards. We'll agree with that. And I'll finish off with one from Robert McDowell, who's quoting Gary Neville. He said, my highlight was Gary Neville commentating during the Man United-Liverpool game, saying, the counter-attack was on there for United. Schweinsteiger, Fellaini and Mata, but none of them can run. Which actually is actually quite fair.
Yeah, it's not a bad point.
That is fair. My highlight from, last week, but a week since we met, I believe, Matteo Vitaioli scoring San Marino's first away goal since 2001. The rasper of a free kick. Mm. Keeper might have done better, but that's fine. The power. Yeah.
What a celebration.
Oh, my goodness.
Big old pylon.
Those are the footballing moments we live for, ladies.
I think the people who get on the back of international football, just playing that.
Piss off.
Yeah, that means an awful lot to an awful lot of people.
But it does beg the question, why haven't you done this before?
Yeah, exactly. We should score more often.
Have a go.
It's bloody good fun.
Sadly, they couldn't hold on for the point.
No. That was always going to happen.
I've got another highlight of the week.
Before we move on, I think that was always going to happen because they genuinely exhausted themselves celebrating.
Yeah, but you've got to take those moments, haven't you, and really rinse them. And there was about 3 pylons going on at one point.
Players from the bench, all sorts.
People running from San Marino to
live the entire population was there.
So look at it.
They're all getting involved.
So I lock up.
Oh dear. But there was a little story from Romania, not including Bacali, who has offered to a thousand refugees. You're talking about take them in.
It's a trap.
I was going to say. That's not what. Yeah, yeah. Enough said about
just
that.
Just be careful what you wish for.
To work in his hate mine.
But anyway, a mayor of a small town in Romania. He was introducing the
just
new coach.
Small town mayor.
He was introducing the new coach to Timișoara, I think it's pronounced, to the coach to the press, and a rare piece of brutal honesty in the world of football. Saying about the newly hired coach, he wasn't the first choice, to be honest. We couldn't get the one we wanted, no offence.
Lovely. That's lovely.
It's like, we got, Peter to the Rambler.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Get out of my studio.
Banter.
My highlight of the week was definitely the commentator on Match of the Day calling Vinnie Jones a Hollywood bad man.
Did he?
Not a Hollywood hard man. That's what he usually gets. A Hollywood bad man.
You see, Vinnie Jones, he lives in LA now, and he was recently lamenting immigration, saying that England is not the country he grew up in. Yeah. Much like Wales.
I had a highlight. I watched the Anthony Joshua fight on Saturday night, and he's an Arsenal fan, I think, and a load of Arsenal players went backstage or into the dressing room to sort of celebrate with him or whatever. And they Instagrammed, I think, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Of course they did.
Yeah, exactly.
All they do.
I don't know if you've seen it, but did you... I mean, I don't know how this happened, because... I mean, well, I do know how it happened, because presumably Carl Jenkinson is still friends with all the Arsenal players. He's only on loan. But did you see what he was wearing? He was wearing one of those... it's really hard to explain, but almost like a massive brimmed hat. Like, it's like... I genuinely lost to explain it. Imagine like a bowler hat with a massive, like... 8-inch brim, and he's standing
like a 10-gallon hat.
But yeah, sort of, but not like a Mexican version, like a black version. But the thing is, the thing that made it really
like
weird,
a Quaker?
Is like, you're sat there looking at it, going, "That's Carl Jenkinson." Do you know what I mean? He's not a cool footballer.
Why is that hat eating Carl Jenkinson?
And all the others are dressed up in nice like suits and stuff, and he's wearing like skinny jeans, a massive oversized shirt, and this. A phenomenally sized hat. I can't explain it any better than that.
Did he sit in the auditorium and watch the match? Watch the boxing match?
Inconsiderate.
Maybe he's like a boxing promoter. They're all very flamboyant people. He's doing it on the side. He's at West Ham now. A few sort of, you know, it few is, illegal fights going on.
Jim, you're an Arsenal fan. I think it might be one of the highlights of your season.
I don't think there's going to be any highlights of my season, because personally, I never felt this bad ever.
Let's have a website roundup.
Yes, from the always excellent Kelly Wells. She says, offerings from the Football Ramble this week include Lionel Messi redefining the parameters of divot blaming, Kelly herself acknowledging the enormity of Wayne Rooney's international achievement by not being sarcastic about it. Good effort, Kelly.
Well done.
Natalie Imbruglia and David Armand performing a tribute to Steven Gerrard's penis. Don't know what that's all about. and Cristiano Ronaldo breaking all of the Real Madrid records. Brazilian Ronaldo cruises past on a Segway.
Burning Man.
A single fuck was given. So you can follow Kelly on at Kelly_Wells with an E, WELLES. And that's thefootballramble.com.
Absolutely. Any more for any more.
This weekend, Absolute Radio welcomes a true legend to the station. Barry Davies is going to be the commentator.
Yes!
Wow.
For Big rock buzzer. And roll football.
My giddy aunt.
So, for the Swansea versus Everton match.
Oh, Barry Davies.
Oh, Barry. Ray Houghton's going to be on as well. That's exciting.
What a contrast to the previous commentator.
Yeah. I almost feel embarrassed to be involved in Absolute Radio.
It's a shame that Pat Bonner's not on, because he could just constantly go to him going, Pat Bonner, what do you think?
Every link. It's getting boring now, Barry. No, it's not.
You did it.
Ray Houghton bought me a pint once. He's a nice fella.
Yeah. Well, I imagine he was my crush when he lobbed Pagliuca in the 94 World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
That being my first World Cup.
Memories. Is that your highlight of the week?
That's it, yeah. Ray Houghton.
It's a crazy world we live in. Right, if you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is...
At Football Ramble.
At Football Ramble.
Fat Football Ramble.
Sorry.
Fattest.
And then, you know, the drill, footballramble.com. Yeah. It's all there.
The drill at drill.
Instagram, Facebook.
Speaking of...
Bebo, MySpace.
Yeah, and also, if you are in the West London area, Marcus is available on Tinder. And, yeah, I mean, he's not got much on, so just go for it.
Do you think that puts some pressure on me, Jim, to actually get on Tinder?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Swipe right.
You
is
tell me,
good?
Mate. I've no idea.
On behalf of the listeners, this is making me really uncomfortable.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Bye.
That's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions
over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.